I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Ooh-way.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here on 980 AM. I appreciate you joining us today as well on iTunes if you're listening on podcast or at our website, grillnationshow.com. Very excited about our show today. I'm going to bring on one of our contributors to the Grill Nation Show in a second to introduce our guest today. It's going to be a fun show. Very interested to have this guest on today. It's going to be our first guest, I believe, in this area of entrepreneurship and business, and so it's going to be really cool to talk to him. I want to thank our title sponsors of the show before we get going today. They are MoBank, BOK Financial, Truss, and Two West Companies. Contributors to the Grill Nation Show include the KCADC, that's the Kansas City Area Development Council, Port KC, and our contributor, guest host, and on-air today is Brian Sarf. He joins us each and every month. He's from True Wealth and Company. Their website is retirewithtrue.com. Great company, local company here in Kansas City. He brings on a fascinating guest every month here on the Grill Nation Show, each first week of every month on the Grill Nation Show. And today is no exception to the rule. Brian, welcome to the show. I would love for you to introduce our guest today. He's well-known here in Kansas City.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Love to be here. And I've been excited about this interview for a couple of months. We've got it set up. And I want to introduce to you one of the most well-known artists in Kansas City, Mike Savage. He's an entrepreneur who loves our town. He loves giving back to the community, and he loves his Jayhawks. He grew up on Strawberry Hill, and he knew from an early age that he enjoyed capturing the world around him through his artwork. You've seen his work all over town in JJ's restaurant, where he displayed his first pastel painting, and the rest is history. Today, Mike Savage is known to many for his acrylic paintings with his broad, thick, and colorful brushstrokes. Mike says on his website, "I let my palette be an extension of the world as it seems to me, to the world as I see and envision it. Happy, colorful, simple." Welcome to the show, Mike. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Quite the introduction.
There you go.
Brian.
That was, wow, I couldn't do that.
Artistic. I liked it.
Well, I mean, he's made such an impact on so many people's lives in town that when you see his artwork, it's so colorful, it's so vibrant and bold. And it's just there and it grabs you. And, how did you develop that style of painting that people have just fallen in love with?
Gosh. Let me just start by saying I usually don't talk about myself. So trying to be somewhat humble, it's hard to, speak about that. But since I was a kid, I just always liked to draw. And I think starting with a pencil and to this day, that's my technology. Studying it through where I went to grade school, high school, and at University of Kansas, it opened up a lot of things. And college is basically, for me, was a place to practice. And you look at through your art history studies or other people doing things, and you play around and you find something that works, that comes out of you. And a lot of inspiration over the years from a lot of places. And you find a way that it just feels right, and you start following that, so to speak. And I just like color. It's pretty simple. And I like to paint everything that's around me. I could see something as far as a composition goes in my eye anywhere. And I could say, oh, gosh, I see a painting or a drawing or something, and I just put it down and do it.
Which artists have had the most impact on you that you – love to follow that you can kind of see their work in yours that have really had an impact on you?
You know, I have been asked that many times, and I've always had like a top three. And I've always liked the Impressionistic era, and I've liked Claude Monet. But there was a guy named John Singer Sargent who was known for his portrait work, but I just thought he was just an amazing talent and how he could paint. And then going into the more abstract area, okay, why am I drawing a blank here?
Is that Tebow that's on your website?
Well, I like him too. I forget. He'll be in the top five. Wayne Tebow and Mark Rothko.
Yeah.
And Mark Rothko, this big color, flat colorist, big areas. I don't know. It's like any kind of art. If it talks to you for some reason, you kind of just gravitate to it.
I like how you say you start with your technology, right? You're not on the computers doing graphic design and that.
Well, I have.
It's through a pencil.
Yeah.
I still create your world.
Yeah. That's kind of where I kind of started. I mean, I knew that, you know, going out, being a painter, at least when I was at school, and that was a long time ago, the city was different and the art world was not as existent as it is now. So I kind of went into the graphic design side also and illustration because I like that. And got into the advertising area. Little did I know that when you get out of school that they don't hire illustrators. It's all freelance. Well, just a lot of things you didn't know back then. You kind of walk out, the door closed, and you're on your own. Now it's a lot better. You really are prepared in the world of art. But I did that, and I finally just kind of jumped ship at one point and said, I'm just going to start painting because I was doing a lot of it on the side besides working all the time.
When was that? How many years were you in the
Well, let's see. 20 years ago, well, that would put me at 40 if you do the math. I quit where the company I was working at and was involved with. And so.
You were freelancing at the same time with the
paintings. Well, when I got out of school, I went to work for various companies just trying to get a job in the art world. And I kept getting involved what there was for the fine art side, if you want to divide them. When I graduated, everything was under the header of Bachelor of Fine Arts. Now it's very, you know, select, I don't know what they call it. Anyway, so I did that. I instantly tried to get involved with arts areas and try to do the fine art side and paint. And when I started doing freelance with graphics, and then someone that I went to school with knew the owner of the restaurant JJ's, and I put some stuff up, and you know, 30 years later, it's still there. It was a great, great opportunity. I didn't pass it up.
I was always curious about that, Brian, because when do you actually decide I'm going to make a life of this? You know, when you're at the company, and a lot of entrepreneurs and business folks struggle with that. When you can actually make a living doing what you want to do and what you love.
Well, not to get specific, I had an epiphany for good or bad reasons, but you know, it was with me from forever. I always laugh. I have a good friend that's in this world, and we went to grade school together. And I remember reading in eighth grade, it was, you know, I went to Catholic grade school, and the nuns handed out kind of a brochure about what you could do with your life in business, and it, be an artist, make $100,000 a year. I'm like, I'm gonna be an artist. Yeah, because we always drew and painted, and it wasn't that simple, but I just knew from day one that I wanted to do something with the arts.
Mm-hmm. Your website is sav-art.com for our listeners.
Yeah, everybody calls it Save Art, but it's really Sav Art because my last name's Savage, of course. But
we got 30 seconds left in this segment. It's going to be a lot of fun today. Brian obviously will bring us back from break here, but Brian Sarr from True Wealth and Company, retirewithtrue.com. We're going to try to bring some of your illustrations to life here on the radio. Some of your most famous ones, but if you haven't looked on the website yet, it's amazing. And also, too, you also are on Facebook and Instagram, which are very good for photos and posting paintings. But check those out, too. They're all on sav-art.com. We'll be right back after the break with Brian Sarf and Mike Savage. You're listening to Grill Nation Show.
Magic in the air.
Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM. Appreciate you joining us on iTunes via podcast or on the website, grillnationshow.com. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill. I'm joined today by Brian Sarf, guest host and honorary contributor who joins me each and every month on the Grill Nation Show. He brought with him Mike Savage today, who is an artist. His website is sav-art.com. Also, he's on Facebook and Instagram. Just look for him on his website. Both links are there. I have them up now. Amazing art. And, man, I feel like I need to have you commission something soon. Brian's going to lead off the second segment. Start us off here, Brian.
Yeah, I wanted to talk, Mike, about your childhood and growing up on Strawberry Hill and the Polish and Croatian community and, you know, what that meant to you as a kid and what that means to you today. Is I know you still go back and see folks there from time to time, and you've done a lot of work painting in that part of town.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
I am half Croatian, half Polish. I lean to the Polish side, and I don't mean anything against the Croatian side, but my mom was Croatian, my dad was Polish, and at the time, that was a mixed marriage. They were kind of frowned upon. KC, Kansas, at the time, was it's a very ethnic community, at least when we were raised. My parents were raised there, and their parents were immigrants. And a lot of Eastern Bloc, call them Eastern Bloc.
Cultures?
Yeah, cultures, thank you. Were brought over to work in the packing houses because they knew how to make sausage. And there's still Chrisman's House of Sausage over there on 6th Street. That can't beat it. You know, houses are 2 feet apart. You had to walk sideways to get to the backyard. We've moved a little bit farther west, as progress was made. But very tight communities. Every corner had a church, a grocery store, and a pub, or a saloon, we called them. It's very close, but times changed, but there was a lot of music, ethnic music, and a lot of food, and you carry that with you, and all the different grade schools that, they're called CYO, Catholic Youth Organizations, we all ended up going to the same high school together at Bishop Ward, which you knew everybody, and it was just a really strong community, very good work ethic, very blue collar, and I don't know. I just kind of carry that with me. With the art world, you got to keep working. As with anything.
Yeah. Talk about the impact your mom and dad had on you, and how that has impacted you today as an artist.
Well,
entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my mom ever missed a day of work. My dad was 23 years in the Air Force, retired at 40, and my uncles and everybody were involved either in politics. My uncle's a sheriff. Or in the community, and my cousins and and your friends were. It's just a small community that everybody knew everybody. And everybody worked hard. And if you did, then you were kind of not singled out, but you knew. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really keeping up with everybody. You just had that mindset to do the best if you could.
I know I read somewhere that the advice that your dad gave and your mom gave about being an artist.
They weren't. And I'll be honest, there wasn't a lot of artistic culture over in that sense. I mean that not disparagingly at all. But they didn't really get what I was doing, but they were behind me 100%. My dad always said, whatever you do in life, have a good time. And my mom would always say, whatever you do, make sure you have health insurance. So you had this balance. And I think that's really true across the board. My buddies from college, we all stuck together. And our motto was work hard, play hard. But, you worked hard first. And I don't mean play hard in a negative sense. You enjoyed yourself or tried to.
I think that's, as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you're playing, you feel like you should be working, and sometimes when you're working, you feel like you should be playing. And it's good to be able to compartmentalize that to when you're going to work, you work and get your work done so that when you're playing, you can enjoy it and you have your time off to recoup and regenerate,
Yeah.
And to get your batteries recharged so you can give it your all when you come back to your work mode.
I still have a hard time with that. It's funny, most of my friends are all independent at this point in their lives too. And I think when you are independent, and I don't know this, I'm just making an assumption, you work differently, or you work harder, or you're more focused, or else you just are having more fun because it's for yourself.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
I think that's definitely the heart of an entrepreneur.
Of course, there is the Catholic guilt, you know, that's hard to get rid of too. So
that plays a factor. I went to Catholic schools as well.
Oh, so you know.
Through high school and college.
Yeah.
So very well.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how your art, your focus and discipline is for your pieces to create a composition that is strong and keeps the viewer's eyes moving. Never allowing the viewer to focus on just one spot. That's pretty interesting. I've never heard anything like that before.
Sometimes over the course of time when I start, you know, doing this full time, you have to think about yourself and what you're doing. I did. And you look at your work and people, what I was doing art fairs, they ask you a lot of questions. And so you have to look at yourself and say, gosh, why did I do that? And I decided, well, I was always taught fundamentally, composition is everything in any way you paint or draw or create. And so you don't want your eye to focus on one spot. So I don't know how I do it. I think it's just kind of an automatic thing. I start drawing and it just takes shape, and I don't want it to just get stuck on one area because it's the whole, not to sound heavy or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, the color to me is what I love. It's just this thick, like all this acrylic is on the canvas, right? You've got this, this really big impact you're making when you're making a statement.
Well, I don't want to give, you know, trade secrets out or anything, but I don't use a palette. I have open jars of paint and I mix on the canvas. So it kind of changes how things work. And I catch a lot of, not grief, but people give me a hard time. Like, how come you don't use brown? I just never use brown because all colors will make brown. I had a color theory class at school that I didn't, okay, it was just so difficult. Yet in hindsight, it was so instructive on it to my core about just naturally knowing how color works. It's real important what's next to each other. And, you know, I don't need to teach anybody here today, but, the color is just, it's everywhere. I just see it that way. I don't know. I can't really explain it. It's just a natural occurrence from me.
Mm-hmm. And you paint all kinds of different buildings and structures and sports stuff is very prevalent. I've noticed with a lot of Chiefs, Royals, KU Sporting, MU, K-State. You've done a lot of really cool pictures in those areas too, which I would feel like would look great on in a bar and in someone's basement, right?
Yeah, and they have been. You know, I paint them for many reasons. One, because I love our city and I love my school and I love the sports. I love, you know, the arts. I like people's house. I mean, but I do a lot of commission work, so people ask me to paint certain things. And I'm involved with organizations where, you know, I might paint something that's for them, for their event, that's they like the KC themes or the plaza. Whatever. And I do too. I'll paint anything. I don't care. I mean, I'm just not that kind of artist. I like to paint everything.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to your Facebook page, you have all kinds of different examples, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And Brian too, you have a location, right?
A gallery. Well, I had a gallery. I closed it a year ago.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, it's just I had it 15 years. It's just time of my life to. I thought slow it down a bit, but as Brian had talked previously, I'm kind of running everything with the help of a friend a little bit and. It's still a business.
Yeah.
And
high demand for your business. It's not slowing down.
No, it's not. Well, yeah. But gosh, there's paperwork. You got it. You still have to take care of the administration and talking to people, communicating. And, you know, I'll be blessed. I like doing that. But, you know, there's days it's like, gosh, I just want to paint. But, you know, you have to treat it as it's become a business. And that's not bad to say. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I was going to go. Brian, lead us off with another question here with 2 minutes left.
Well, when I look at, when I look at where you grew up in town in Strawberry Hill and KCK, what are the parts of town there that you like to paint, that you like to, you know, that you like to visit that really have the color and really kind of bring out that community for you?
Well, I think wherever you're from, that's what you remember, but I like the old buildings. I like the hill and I like the history that ties into it. And you can bring the history, you know, like we talked over at St. John's, you know, they still have their club with six lanes of bowling. And I bowled growing up and playing football on the hill, which went right into the highway. And just these really old, had character. You know,
a lot of those buildings are still there.
They're still there.
You have an entire section of your website all about
your community, where you grew up. Yeah, because I like to get back to them. I mean, it's part of my life, you know.
Absolutely.
It's still in me. And, you know, we all dropped our basketball picks off over there, too. I don't want to get specific, but but I'm not doing very well on those either, by the
way. No one is.
No.
Minute left in the segment. I'd like to talk a little about, you know, kind of when you started making some money doing this and how you mentioned the administration part. That's got to be hard for an artist to manage all that, right?
Well, in a way, but I worked in business. I was a creative director for a design firm. So you have a department and you know how it works. You know the business side of it. Well, I mean, I didn't run the business side, but I was involved in all that. So you carry that with you. And, you know, I had someone that worked for me and ran the gallery. And we had other artists and you communicate with all that and you put your input in. And you learn over time, but now it's all on me because I decided to bring it all home and just do it myself. But there's, I have a learning curve. I'm going back in and learning stuff I wasn't used to doing, which is good, but it's frustrating right now.
Yeah, but you also have technology too. I've looked at your website. You have all these photos. I say, oh, I like that. I like that. It's made it maybe a little easier to get your work out where people don't have to go to the gallery to see it.
And that's another whole other story about the technology. It really is. It changed overnight.
It definitely did. Brian Sarf is my guest host today, on-air contributor and contributor to the Grill Nation show. We're talking to Mike Savage, sav-art.com is his website, also on Facebook and Instagram. I'll be right back after the break with more of the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening to 980 AM. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I appreciate you listening again today on 980 AM or on iTunes via podcast or at grillnationshow.com. Again today with me is Brian Sarf from True Wealth and Company. Their website is retirewithtrue.com. A contributor to the Grill Nation Show joins me each and every month with a guest. And today we have Mike Savage from Sav Art. The website is sav-art.com. Also on Instagram and Facebook. A really cool interview so far. Brian, we're going to talk more about the business side of what Mike does in this segment.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me the years you spent at the Plaza Art Fair with your such demand for your work, the people that line up to see you and talk with you. You had your gallery and those things, and I kind of want to talk about before of where your business was going in that, and now you're in an evolution of what this next phase is, and I would just kind of like to talk about. You know, what made that transition from where you were at before and where you're headed to now? And let's, talk through some of that, the challenges and struggles you've had to overcome.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's, it's out of necessity. I mean, everything you do is what comes at you and how you react to it. When I made the leap of faith and left my company and started, and I was painting on the weekends. I had a lot of commission and work going on. So when I quit my job, I felt confident that I could move forward. And I had young kids. And, I came home from work, told my wife, hey, I quit my job. And she's like, hey, great. but she really was. She was. And so first thing we did, we start thinking, okay, where can we go with this? Entered art shows. And people think you just go to them. Well, you have to apply. And you're not always accepted. And I didn't always get accepted to high-end ones. But we got on the road and we traveled, took the kids with us. And it was an experience, and we met people. They signed our book, and we learned about databases at a time. Computers weren't even very big then. So one thing I always embraced was the technology because it does offer you so much opportunity. And I don't want to jump forward, but you look at the Facebook. I have two Facebook pages. One's for my personal BS, and the other one's the business side. I respect both of those in how they work. Same with Instagram. I have one just for being fun and being myself, and or the other one's talking about art. And I also try to approach it with how I look at life all the time, just being positive, even though there's times you really want to rant and rave, but you don't. But anyway, back to as you go through there, and then we had opportunities to do different things, and you just keep working. And you say, okay, well, the technology comes out, so how about a website? So you design one. And it does X amount because that's what's available. And then you find out, gosh, it does more. And there's all these options and applications. And we talked about before, if you don't know how to do it, find someone to help you. So I have some great people, support people that make me look good, so to speak.
But you have a great team around you that help you with all the, with technology, with orders, with customer service, with everything involved with running a business.
Except now I got to do it all. But anyway, I have learned. But that, you know, it's out there. And that's nothing wrong with doing that. And I've been involved with other galleries. But when I wanted to start my own, I was just driving down the street, saw For Rent, checked it out, came home, and we did it, and we built it, and just with what we knew what to do. And you communicate to people. And, you know, the motto I always said, and I don't know where I got it from, was, you know, if you're not seen, you're not seen. And so you have to stay current. You got to stay on top of it because there's someone behind you always catching up on you, right? Mm-hmm. You said that?
Yeah, if you're not moving forward.
Yeah. Satchel Paige?
Yes.
Yeah. But, and, you know, you don't want to worry about that because some days, you know, I seem like I work every day and you want to take a break, and it's hard to do that. But it all depends on what's important to you. I'm at a point in my life, I mentioned to you, Brian, before that, you know, 10 years ago, I got hit with this really strange infection that about took me out and left me with some issues that I deal with daily. And it got to a point in my life where, okay, I need to look at things differently. And so that's just one aspect of just life and business or anything. You have to look at it and adapt. So,
well, I know you have to compartmentalize some of that pain that you have in your leg and your arm and the challenges that brings to the running a business and being an artist and presenting that positive face when internally, you know, you're having some serious pain that's going through, and you have to ignore that and compartmentalize it to keep moving forward.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say it, but I have a knack for doing that, except when you're done, it knocks you out. I mean, it's not so much about putting on a good face. That's really who I am. But
yes,
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you have to. You bring yourself out as much as you can. But when you get I learned to know when to stop because I have to. And that's hard for me because I wasn't that type of person. I like to go 24/7, and I can't anymore.
Well, I know that having fought off that illness, having conquered it and put it behind you, even though part of it still lives with you every day, it's brought you to a point in your life where you're kind of evolving and transforming Mike Savage and what this next phase is going to be and this next, you know, chapter in your life is going to be. And talk about, what do you see as you move forward that's changing, you know, your business?
Well, I was hoping that you would tell me what that was. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Since it's like every January, it's a new rebirth of some sort.
That's right.
And I was like, gosh dang, not again. And I have a lot of plans, and they're stirring up in your head, but they're still bottom lines in your life, your children and your existence and your where you live and friends and whatever else you do. Again, that sounds corny, but that's part of it. And just because you're an artist doesn't mean it's any different from anybody else doing anything. So at this point, I'm just kind of taking a slight breather and reassessing. And I'm taking the people around me that know how to help me, say, okay, here's what I want to do. How can I go forward with that? And I really don't know the answer right now. I have some plans, but I've never really had a plan. I didn't know what the plan would be. It's always been a leap of faith. And that's what I'm doing right now. So I just embrace what tools are out there and trust yourself that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And keep taking chances.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of aspiring artists. I have one in my house with my older daughter who just loves lettering and calligraphy.
And she's good too.
And she loves that. You know, she's studying at Ohio State, in the medical field. She just finished up her freshman year, you know, and still wants to stay, you know, focused on that. She loves being artistic and creative. I know there are so many kids that have that ability, that have that creative instinct in them, and they have that desire. But society seems to really want to push kids away from that because they have this view that everybody's a starving artist and they're not going to be able to make it. What advice do you have for kids that are artists that want to express themselves and be creative and find their place, you know, in the world of art?
Well, that's a tough thing. I think you have to be true to yourself. You got to be strong. And, you know, it's not easy for a young person to be strong all the time about what their future is going to be. You want respect from the strength of your family to be around you. But sometimes you just have to take that jump. But, you know, there's nothing wrong. Like, I've seen your daughter's work. It's great. Do both. you know, just follow it. As far as, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can honestly say I probably worked over the first 20 years, I'd say 18 were probably not where I wanted to be, but you keep going, okay, I'm just going to keep trying doing something, you know, and I got lucky. But I hope that the work coupled with the luck, but I also try to be, viable. So, you know, Thomas Hart Benton, I think it was him, he said, I'd just as soon hang my work in a gas station or a saloon as a museum. A lot more people go there. And, you know, and it's kind of true. So there's nothing to be.
Amen to that.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, God, I did stuff. Yeah, God, you wouldn't believe the stuff I've done. And, you know, I'd like to honestly say that I never got too perturbed by it. Probably a little bit when I was younger because you have that, oh, I want to be this. And, I can't do that. But now it's like, man, I get to do that. Well, it just makes me better, everything I do.
So when
time.
You went up in JJ's as a young man, how did that heart? So people start saying, I love this. I want this.
Well, first
and
of all.
Then you're like, oh my gosh, how do I even build? How do I even charge for this? How do I?
Well, we had a great situation. Well, first of all, we found the place before it was even JJ's. It was Don Pepe's. And my buddy and I went in there like, wow, 75-cent beers, neighborhood joint, and no one's in here. This is perfect.
And it on the plaza.
Right there, you know, and it changed pretty quick and met the owner. And like I said, his girlfriend was a friend of mine and she knew my work at school and said, hey, come in and do this. And I did. And two of my friends did it the next 2 months and then they came back and he asked me again and again. We just kind of sat down and said, hey, just trying to change that once in a while. I won't take any cut of it as long as you keep it fresh. And we've had shows and fun, and it's been good for everybody. And it was a good opportunity. And I think he was one of the first guys in the city that really took this idea and ran with it.
Mm.
But I forgot what was the question.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that's kind of when you got your start, right? And you realized I could make a business out of this.
Yeah, and that was – that was before, that was, gosh, how old was I then?
This is 1980, and my work I had that 1987 was whenever you first hung your, your first picture in there, right?
I kept working in the advertising or in the graphic world 10 years after that still. So, and, you know, my buddy and I entered the Plaza Art Fair just on a lark, and we got in. And God, you should have seen our display. It was so bad. We didn't know about tents and stuff like that, but you know, and it's really pretty funny.
Did it rain that first year?
Oh my God. And you know, we built this thing. It was really the Three Little Pigs, you know, everybody has the brick house. We didn't even have sticks and straw, you know, but we learned a lot and we sold a lot and we had fun and we met people. And
that's what it's all about. But you've connected with so many people. On such a great level that they feel that they know you, even though they've never met you, but it's all been through your artwork. I mean, that's just surreal, that connection.
Yeah, and on that point, though, going back to about, there's so many people that I meet that I communicate with, I mean, that I don't meet, but a lot of them are very artistic in nature, and they're like, they'll show me stuff, but they haven't done it. They've done something else.
Yeah.
Like, the advice I would say to anybody that has that, like my brother, he lives in Dallas, very talented guy, but he's doing something else. But I told him, I said, Dave, get a room and put all your stuff up.
Yeah.
So it's there.
I love it.
And you go to it. Because otherwise, for me, the biggest pain is opening those damn jars every day. You know? Getting ready.
Yeah.
I got that shoulder.
But, we'll get back into this in the next segment. Okay, you're listening to the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast and at grillnationshow.com. I hope you enjoyed our show today. It's been a lot of fun. Brian Sarf from True Wealth & Company, retirewithtrue.com, a great company here helping people retire quickly and
helping successful people make work optional.
Yes.
I'll be calling you.
That's the tagline, but making your life easier. He joins us each and every month. Mike Savage, Sav Art, is with us, sav-art.com. We got a short segment here, so Brian, why don't you kick us off?
Well, I first want to say that you have to go to Mike's website and go to sav-art.com and just mill around and look at the prints that he has, the original works that he has on his site, and you'll find so many different things that you love. I have a painting. I can't say what it is because it's a gift for a client, that I found on the website. It just perfectly represents, my clients. I've got it at the office, and it's a gift that I'll give to him when he comes in a few weeks for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But you just represent so many cool parts of Kansas City and sports with, you know, the painting you had of Mahomes and the painting you have of, you know, just of roosters and cows and clouds. I mean, you're known as the cloud guy, aren't you?
Yeah, and I worked on a farm growing up, and then, you know, that was a big influence, but that's a whole other day.
And I will mention, too, just to add to that real quickly, you have prints, you do framing, you have ornaments, you have cardstock, you do custom commission stuff. I mean, there's a lot of options. You're very approachable, yeah. And yeah. Like Brian's saying, you have all kinds of different things to look at in collections, and it's all on your website, sav-art.com.
You'll spit it out one of these.
Yes, I will.
Hey, get that right, buddy.
And you're all over Instagram and Facebook, and I mean, I'm telling you, I want to buy half the website.
Oh,
so.
There you go.
What's do you have, you know, a couple of pieces that people order more than others that
great
stand
question.
Out to you as like your the artwork that people love the most?
Well, I can't say one specifically, but I can say subject matters. People love the Kansas City skyline paintings I've done and or plaza scenes. Of course, the Royals and Chiefs. And, you know, stuff for their schools that I've painted. A lot of KU stuff's been great. Wine.
I knew he would say that as a KU grad.
Well, I had to.
Was it hard to paint the stuff for Mizzou when you painted?
I don't play that game.
We'll get your one. The only people that probably ask you for your Mizzou columns.
Well, let's not go there now. Let's just, you know, that's another day too. People are tutor of school, and that's important. And you should always enjoy that aspect of, you know, that part of your life. So,
You have so many community organizations that you give back to, and you have forever, and you continue to do so. Talk about the organizations that you give back to and how you help them raise money for their cause and, you know, to help them make an impact and what's important to them and what's important to you.
Well, I think just to state first, I think for where I grew up, what I think we've always had a sense of community. Because everybody, I wouldn't say struggle, but they were on the same level. And so you helped each other. And it was kind of in my upbringing and education was, you know, I was part of it. When I was at KU, not to toot a horn, but I got a scholarship for my senior year. And I thought, wow, you know, it made me feel like, okay, everything I've been doing, maybe there's a chance so I could make a living at this. So when I started the gallery, the first thing I did, I got a hold of KU and the art department, and I said, I want to start a scholarship and do the same thing that every year now we've had it, I don't know, gosh, 15, 16 years now. I go judge the student show, and the juniors that we pick out will get X amount of money for their senior year. They could do whatever they want with it. They could, you know, buy paint supplies. They could buy beer. It doesn't matter. But it helps them to give the ones that are really dedicated a sense of, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
That's awesome.
And that was just really important to me. And I just always believe in giving back. And for me, I can't always give time, but I have things that people, you know, prints or paintings, whatever, you know, and there are so many great institutions and they all need help. And I like to help. So it's not much because I can't give my time.
But I think through your prints, like you have some of the fundraisers where they can direct people to a site where they can order a print. They get a print from you, and a part of that money goes to help that fundraiser.
Yeah, we created a fundraiser of things, so it's pretty much turnkey. A lot of schools have come to me, and or say a sorority or a fraternity or even any kind of organization, and say they could buy my painting of whatever they want, whether it's of their institution or their school or something specific, for X amount. I give them a discount. And then everything goes to our website. They don't have to do anything. People go in there and at their event, they can sign up, they could buy a print, and we give percentage back to them, and they don't mm-hmm. have to do anything.
That's
and
the best way to do it.
It is. It's easy.
Because, you know, you get asked all the time for auctions and all kinds of things. And, you know, when you can actually say, here's what we do for our charity. And so you kind of have that plan that you already have in place.
And I'm
so
not good at saying no.
Yeah, yeah. No,
on that note, though, I had a friend. We were talking about that And she said, I said no the other day. I said, how was that? She goes, God, it killed me. and I took that as, and it wasn't because she didn't want, it was just a situation, because she likes to give too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kansas City is one of the biggest giving communities in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. And I like being
very
part of that.
Very philanthropic Kansas City.
Yeah. You get a lot of calls, you know, and you want to say no, but I can't. I want to give. People say, well, I can. It's not about can. It's because you want to. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, what advice do you have for any business owner out there, not just in the art world itself, but for business owners that are doing what they're passionate about, building their dream? What advice do you have for them?
I got advice that, this would be kind of funny. My advice from someone was either get a dry cleaner or a liquor store. But I'm being funny. You know, I think you have to believe in yourself. You just got to take the ups with the downs. If you have a product, and art's a product. It's a product of you. Believe in it, and man, just keep looking forward and look for the opportunities and take everything. Take everything.
Yeah.
Never say no.
For someone who might want a custom piece commissioned,
here's my number.
What's the timeline for you? Because I know you're a busy man.
It all depends. I work with everybody. Some people, hey, I'm in a big hurry, so I put it down. Or some say, hey, you know, my son had some friends that got married, and I did stuff for their wedding. Well, you know, it's last minute, but that's my son and his buddies. I know these guys from college, you know, and I'll do anything for them. Everybody's flexible and everybody understands.
Mm-hmm. You just work with the client.
Yeah, I just work with everybody. And I just be honest with them. I got someone that's here or hot. Can you wait a minute? I got stuck. Can you do this? And they're all great.
Well, that's how I met you was we were redesigning.
That took forever, didn't it?
It did. We were designing our new office, and I had a designer helping us lay out our lobby, and she sent me some suggestions, and then another one of my clients sent over some suggestions, and both of them suggested you. And I'd seen your artwork forever and loved it, and so we picked the Kansas City skyline, you know, scouting the performance, and had you add in our brand elements in there and painted that. And then you and Patty surprised me at the office of delivering it when I thought it was going to be a few more weeks, and you had it there for our open house. I really appreciate that.
And on that note, that's what's really rewarding. But I'm sure there's if there are any artist listeners out there, rolling around, you know, gnawing on their teeth or whatever, but you know, it's okay to do that for me. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just want to say thank you. That was a phenomenal piece of work, and everybody loves it when they see it. It was so colorful.
It's a two-way street.
And I want to thank both of you guys for coming on today. Brian, obviously, each and every month, True Wealth & Company, Retire with True, Brian Sarf.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Helping others make work optional.
Yes.
Each and every day. And Mike Savage from Sav Art, website sav-art.com. Amazing artist here in Kansas City. Congrats on your success, and thanks for coming on.
You betcha. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jason.
Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.